All right, good evening again. Genesis 3. Actually, it's going to be Genesis 4. We'll read the first 9 verses of Genesis 4 in a moment. Let's pray. Father, we pray for your help. We come before your great throne and we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that you've revealed so much of it to us. We pray that tonight you'd reveal more. Father, that we'd see more of Christ. Father, that we would learn from this example in Genesis chapter 4 from the two sons of Adam, Cain and Abel. Oh God, I pray that you'd equip us. Father, teach us how to use all of the Scriptures. You told us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And so, Lord, help us to be good stewards of it. Help us to know how to use every line of it, Father. We ask for your blessing this night in this passage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last time, if you remember, we saw the gospel in Genesis 3:15. And in the prophecy and promise of the man that would come, that the Messiah that would come. And then we saw, or we read of God sacrificing that animal and clothing Adam and Eve from their nakedness and shame with the coats of the animal's skins. In the sacrificial death and shed blood of the animal, and in the coats of skins, God showed man, God showed Adam and Eve, what that man would do for them. They didn't understand a whole lot, but they saw a picture of what God would do. Now, today I thought to move on to Noah and then to Abraham, but God stopped me and he showed me something from the life of Cain. And you might be thinking, Cain? What can we learn from the life of Cain? He was an unbeliever. He was a rebel against God. Well, there's something to learn about Cain and also in the interaction that God had with Cain. In this interaction with Cain, we can see some of the experiences that we have when we witness to someone. And when we tell them, as God told Cain, if you do well, shall you not be accepted? That's almost like saying, because God told Cain, he said, go back and do the right thing. Go back and bring the sacrifice, but do it rightly. And I want to show you what that was. But Cain wouldn't do it. And so oftentimes we will talk to sinners about Christ and they, quite frankly, will react like Cain did. But let's get into the story. I want you to see this. So after God drove Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden, they began a life of faith in a fallen world as believers in God. It says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. Well, it says, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had, pay attention here now, the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. So you see there, it was God respecting first the person before God would respect his sacrifice. It says, and after that happened, Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And we know verse 8 speaks of the result of Cain's anger. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And so, here they are, Adam and Eve are driven out of the garden of God. They begin to live a life of faith in a fallen world. And the first thing recorded after they are driven from the garden of God is the birth of their two sons. Now, much time lapses, and we know nothing about their infancy, their youth, nothing like that. We come fast forward in time to when they're young men. I don't know how old they were. I can't even surmise how old they were. My assumption is that they were in their late teens. Cain followed in his dad's footsteps. He was a tiller of the ground, like Adam was. But not Abel. He was a keeper of sheep. Now, we know that Adam taught his sons about true worship as far as he knew it against the God that they had sinned against, and how to rightly worship, because we see Abel bringing the right sacrifice and coming the right way before God. We see both of them bringing their offerings. So the implication is that Adam taught them how to worship and what they should do. Adam no doubt learned from that animal that God had killed to clothe them. No doubt Adam taught them. When Cain and Abel brought their offerings, though, the expectation was is that they would bring their offerings by faith and by obedience in what they learned from Adam and what God commanded them. So remember, there's very little that they understand right now, but they're being instructed by their father Adam. So now we see their God's response. And we see what God's response was. God respected Abel, the person, and his offering. But in verse 5, God did not respect Cain, nor his offering. Tells us about our worship. It's first a lesson in how we come before God. God's looking at our persons when we come. See, God knew both of their hearts. He therefore knew how they came to him. Abel brought his offering to God by faith. He brought it in obedience to God. Abel no doubt believed God, and he believed his promise. You see, Abel's faith was in a person. Abel came to God with a right heart, believing in that promise that his father taught him. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And so it teaches us about our worship. Abel's heart was right, and Abel came to God in the prescribed manner in which God had told him to come through his dad Adam. Now listen, there's a lot of folks in the world that would call themselves worshipers of God, but they worship God on their own terms. And they come to God the way they want to come to God. And God doesn't accept that. And God doesn't accept their person, and God doesn't accept their worship, and he doesn't accept their sacrifices. You see, God sets the terms of our worship. Cain did not receive those terms that God had brought him. Abel did. Abel believed God. He believed the promise. And it's clear that he was taught the truth about how he ought to bring an offering to the Lord. In fact, Romans 10:10 says, "For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So Abel's heart was right, and Abel was obedient to God in his offering. But now Cain, unlike Abel, brought his offering to the Lord with a wicked and rebellious heart, and in disobedience to what God had commanded. Look at Proverbs 21 and 27. Let me show you something there as we back up. Proverbs 21 and 27. It tells you something about Cain the person, and in turn, Cain's sacrifice. 21:27 says, the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. Proverbs 15:8 says it's an abomination to the Lord. Chapter 21:27, the second part says, how much more when he brings it with a wicked mind or a wicked heart. And that's how Cain came to worship God. And that's how he brought his offering. Look at 1 Samuel 15:22. 1 Samuel 15:22. See, what you're learning here, we learn in the New Testament, we'll see in a moment, you're learning the way of Cain. That's a phrase in the book of Jude, the way of Cain. When you see what the ways of Cain were, or the way of Cain is, you'll see that there are many in the world today that's how they think. They think like Cain did. 1 Samuel 15:22. Samuel told Saul, when Saul had not obeyed the command of the Lord to kill all the Amalekites and to kill all the livestock, and he took some of the animals, and he said, we're sacrificing to the Lord. Well, he was disobedient. So Saul was disobedient, but now he's going to sacrifice to the Lord. Samuel says, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken unto me, that is, than to give me the fat of rams. For rebellion, which is what Cain was, a rebel, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath rejected thee from being king. You go back to Cain, he was rejected by God. So, what a lesson on how to worship God. So, back to Genesis 4:4. So, we see Cain came in disobedience, and he came with a wicked heart. And so, God did not accept his sacrifice. So, we see what happened. Cain got very angry. Bible says very wroth. It actually means he was in a rage. It means he was furious. He was angry with God for rejecting him and his offering. And now his anger was transferred to his brother. Why? Because God accepted his. In fact, let me just read 1 John to you. 1 John chapter 3. It tells us a little bit about Cain. John writes here, when he talks about those that practice sin and those that don't practice sin, verse 10, 1 John 3:10, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Here in Cain and Abel, you have Abel, a child of the good seed, child of God, and you have Cain, a child of the devil. So the two seeds there. And then he goes on, he says, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And then he uses that example, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore, or why did he slay him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's were righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. And so there's that passage there. But here, Cain is intensely angry. And he's angry at his brother as well. You could see, you see, you look at Cain, he was proud and arrogant. He wanted to do things his way. But he was proud and arrogant like his father, the devil. And think about it. Have you ever talked to someone about the Lord? and they might say some things and they don't really know what they're talking about, and you try and kindly correct them or redirect them by the scriptures, and the result is they get intensely angry at you. That's the way of Cain. You know what that is? That's wounded pride. It's amazing that you meet people in the world that know so much about God that have never cracked this book open, never step a foot into a church, not born again by the Spirit of God, but they'll tell you about God. And they want to worship God their own way. And so sometimes, beloved, we'll talk to people, try and tell them kindly that they're wrong, or that they've, try and tell someone that they've sinned against God and they need to come to Christ. And they get intensely angry and furious at them. Or you just try and correct them. We kind of see that exchange with God Himself. And this is the amazing part of the scripture. But you see, this was Cain's way. It's going to be my way or no way. And again, sadly, many religious lost, are just like Cain today. But then we come to verse 6 and 7, and that's the amazing passage to consider, because even in Cain's anger and resentment and rebellion against God, I mean, he's angry. He's got the poochie lip on. God says, "Why is your countenance fallen?" But God was patient with him. Do you see that? God was patient with Cain. God didn't owe him anything. He was disobedient. He was rebellious against God. But God was patient with him. God reasoned with him. We have other scriptures where the scripture says God pleaded with the rebels in Israel. So here's God pleading with Cain. You know, we're talking about the gospel. Here's the first man in the era of faith who rejected the gospel. He's the first man that rejected the gospel. God reasoned with him. God gave him space to repent. God gave him an opportunity to do the right thing. If you do well, will you not be accepted? It's like saying, repent and believe the gospel and God will accept you. But Cain would have none of it. See, Cain's rejection of God is a snapshot of how every rebellious sinner reacts to the truth. Cain's rebellion against God is one of the most prominent examples in all the Word of God of a sinner despising the goodness of God toward him. He didn't realize at that moment the goodness of his Creator to extend patience to him, to give him space and time to repent. God reasoned with him, gave him a way to escape his own self-destruction. But in his anger and rage, and you know when you're angry and in a rage, you can't think right. You ever talk to somebody when they're angry? That's why I'll say, let's just come back later when you're not angry. I'm not angry! That's what happens. You don't think right when you're angry. You say, you never get angry by me. Yes, I do. And I try and go hide when I do. Hopefully not as much as I used to. Look at Isaiah 1:16 of this thing of God reasoning. Listen, God is so good to us. He's so good. Listen, I was a rebellious sinner for some time under the preaching of the gospel. Under, not the preaching, the witnessing of the gospel of a friend witnessing to me. I was a rebel. I showed God the hand. God was kind and patient to me. You know what? I didn't deserve to be saved, but God saved me. Look, verse 16, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16. This is through the prophet to Israel. Wash you, make you clean to the people of Israel. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. It's almost like what God was telling Cain. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason, saith the Lord. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Cain despised the riches of God's goodness and God's forbearance and God's long-suffering, not knowing that it is the goodness of God that would have led him to repentance. But so often, you know, the goodness of God hardens sinners. See, in Psalm 50, God tells the rebels in Psalm 50, he said, you thought that I was... Let me just read this little portion of Psalm 50. He says, but unto the wicked... Let me see. Yes. In verse 21, he says, these things hast thou done, this wickedness, and I kept silence, God says. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. And so we listen, so many sinners in the world today mistake God's silence with God doing nothing. But God's silence is the patience of his justice. Stephen Charnock says this. And it's the first whisper of his mercy. Cain let that privilege pass him. So he despised the goodness of God. Listen, Cain's refusal to forsake his anger and rebellion against God ruined him. It ruined him. It wasn't long that his anger festered to hatred. And then we know to the murder of Abel, his brother. And then when Cain was caught, and then God came and Abel's blood was crying from the ground, Cain showed absolutely no remorse when he was caught. No remorse at all. When he was punished, then he complained about the punishment. It's like the criminal. They do the crime and they know you're too hard on me. The judge is too hard on me. He told God, my punishment is greater than I can bear. So he complained that the punishment was too hard. Listen, this is what most guilty and condemned sinners do today and say. They'll say, punishment's too great. But they'll also say, my sin is not that bad. See, this was Cain's way. Now, you want to see that phrase, and then I'm going to go over the way of Cain. Jude 11 is where we read that. This is when Jude talks about those false teachers and these wicked men creeping into the church and among God's people. In verse 11, he says, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. So what is the way of Cain? Well, first, Cain was a religious hypocrite who was exposed. And when he was exposed, it wounded his pride and it exposed his rebellion against God. And listen, if a man or a woman can't be broken of their pride and they're told they're wrong, that will incense them. Wounded pride is bad and it makes sinners worse. That's the reaction to wounded pride, anger, fury, and wrath. Second, Cain was going to worship God his own way. This is the way of Cain. God's word didn't matter. He was going to do what was right in his own eyes. Cain would worship God on his own terms. You realize how many millions of people there are in the world that worship God on their own terms? I worship God. I had a relative who told me that. He says, look, me and God, we got an understanding, a little side deal going here. I said, no, you don't. No, you don't. You got nothing with God. And you're lost and dead in your sins. Listen, that's the way of Cain, to worship God on your own terms. In fact, the proverb says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And in Proverbs 18:12, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. But before honor is humility. So Cain was a religious hypocrite that was exposed. He was going to worship God on his own terms. And then Cain would not be instructed or corrected. You meet somebody that won't take instruction. You meet somebody that won't be corrected. You're meeting someone, and the Bible calls them a scorner. In fact, Proverbs 9 says, "Rebuke not a scorner, lest he hate thee." You know what a scorner is, huh? You tell them that they're doing something wrong. You do it with a good spirit. You try and help them. And the Bible says they'll turn again and run. They'll run upon you. And so the Bible tells you, don't rebuke them. I think that's what the Lord spoke of in Matthew 7:6. Don't cast your pearls before swine, because they'll trample you. In fact, Proverbs 29:1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. That's scary. That is scary stuff. Next came was an angry man. Well, let me rephrase that. He was spring-loaded to anger. He was quick to anger. Now, that's bad enough, but anger rested in Cain's bosom. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, "Be not soon to be angry, for anger rests." It stays there. It rests in the bosom of fools. And so Cain was, he was an angry man. Intensely angry. So Cain was a religious hypocrite that was exposed. He would worship God on his own terms. He was an angry man. He would not be instructed or corrected because he was too arrogant to humble himself before God, to confess that he was wrong. Those that go in the way of Cain, they refute. They'll never say, "I'm so sorry." Or if they do, they'll say, "Well, I'm sorry, but..." No, the way of Cain is that he's right. In fact, any attempt to correct him, he will get angrier. And then Cain hated his brother because he was accepted of God. People like Cain hate God's true people, and they hate God's true message. They hate the true worshipers of God. Remember godly Stephen? You remember that passage? Look at Acts chapter 7. Just one example. I think it fits the description. When Stephen preached to these Pharisees, these self-righteous rebels, he said in verse 51, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hardened ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One." It's exactly what Abel did. He showed the coming of the Just One by his sacrifice, and Cain hated him for it. "Of whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers. Who have received the law by the disposition of angels that have not kept it? And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and gnashed upon him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see heaven opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried with a loud voice in their rage, and they stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him." And of course we know they laid down his clothes at Saul's feet. You can see the rage of them because they hated the truth and they hated those that were of the true God. And then you don't have to go any further than our Lord after that. Beloved, Cain... the last way of Cain is he resented his punishment from God for killing his brother. And sinners always think they're getting treated unfairly. They think they're getting treated wrongly. They think their punishment is too great. Listen, every lost sinner is in danger of going the way of Cain ruining their lives, piling sin upon sin, being driven further from God. So here you have it, the way of Cain. I thought it necessary to show this because this is actually the first family living in a fallen, sinful world who began to walk by faith. Here's Adam and Eve, their first two sons. One was obedient to the faith, believed in the promise of God, believed God, came to God with a right heart, with a heart of faith, and offered a sacrifice. And God respected Abel and respected his sacrifice. And here's the second son that said, not going to do it. I'm going to do it my own way. And then when God tried to correct him, the amazing thing there is the exchange between God and Cain in that passage. When God tells him, he asks him, why are you wrong? Why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? And then he extends to him this opportunity. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Do the right thing, Cain. And if thou doest not well, and then there's this phrase I'll close with, sin lieth at the door. Literally means crouching. Crouches at the door of his heart. And he was like a crouching lion. When his brother went out in the field, he pounced on him in anger and killed him. And so, beloved, it's important that we understand this aspect of the gospel. This is some 8,000-10,000 years ago. I don't know how long ago it was. The beginning of time, first family. But this exchange between an impenitent Cain and God is no different today when you talk to a rebel and you try and point them to Christ. They don't want to have anything of it. Why? Because they've gone in the way of Cain. It's important that we understand this so that we know when we're dealing with people like this that this is what's happening. But beloved, we have the truth. And so let us not shrink back. Let us be wise. Wise as serpents, harmless and doves. When we talk to people like this, when we talk to rebels against God. Because listen, if you come right down to it, we were all rebels against God once upon a time. And God saved us. And so, beloved, let us be faithful to be faithful witnesses of God's word in this lost and dying world. Amen. Let's dismiss in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this account. Father, very sad to see a human soul created in your image reject you, even when you extend your goodness to him. Father, let us learn from Cain's rebellion. And Father, help us to be wise. Help us to be faithful witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to know how to deal with people like this because the world is full of them. And so, Father, we ask that you'd help us. Father, thank you so much for saving us, saving me, O God. For once upon a time, I was a rebel against God. Oh God, if it would not be for your intervention, I would have gone in the way of Cain. I would still be there. But I'm so thankful for your grace and your kindness. Thank you for Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you so much, Father, for saving me from my sins. Help these, thy blessed people, oh God, as we continue on this work week. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, brethren, request for prayer. I have a few already written down. Remember Chris and Tammy not feeling well. Benny sent me a text today. He's taken Nate